How many are excited for the word? Amen. Amen. So thank you so much. I want to get right into it. Last week we talked, give me one second. Last week we talked about miracles. Stranger Things part one, one was about miracles. A lot of people were wondering, okay, how many watch Stranger Things? I know there's a lot of new people today. How many watch Stranger Things? Okay, yeah. So a lot of people thought that we were going to dive into the show and find Jesus in it. We're not going to do that. You know, demigorgons are hell and all that. No, we're not doing that. But what we've been focusing on was the stranger concepts about Christianity. How many know there's awkward things to talk about as a Christian, right? Speaking in tongues, miracles, the hand of God, the devil, because we all know that now in church culture, we say the enemy, right? Because when we say the word devil, it sounds a little too intimidating. So now we use different languages. Why? Because it's an easier pill to swallow than the reality that there is a heaven and there is a hell. Which is why we're covering the basis of Stranger Things. Because we took a month of October, close to Halloween, to talk about things that we don't normally like to talk about in church. So we covered the basis. I have to make sure we cover this. We covered the basis about miracles. How many learned a lot about last service that we had, right? That we are miracles. We talked about, where do we see the hand of God? And we said that maybe the hand of God didn't change, but his motive for his people did. Which we are looking for seas to be parted, but God's saying, I'm looking for people to unite. I'm looking for people to be walking miracles, to be walking testimonies. And we talked about when Jesus came into the land, of course there was powerful manifestations of his glory. Of course there was powerful things, because God had to signify that timeline in history to show that this was the Son of Man, this was the Son of God, and he came to alter the entire world. Amen. So now we see different things that encompass his hand. And he talked to us last service that we are walking miracles. How many believe that, right? That you are a walking miracle, that you have the ability to be used by God, to be his hands, to be his feet, to be his mouth, to be his tongues. This is why we have public society, so that we can connect ourselves with him, to do life with him. Because without him, there is no purpose. He is our purpose. Every day we wake up, God, give me a word for my brother. Give me a word for my sister. How can I help the needy? How can I help? How can I be you on earth? Amen. So this week I wanted to talk about where he led me to get a little bit deeper. Someone say deeper. Now someone say like you're not in a funeral. Deeper. How many Puerto Ricans I got in the house? Shout out. Come on. How many Dominicans in the house? Wow. African American. Here. Yeah. I swore someone said here. What else we got? What else we got? Caucasian. All right. That's great. Okay, what's this the loudest group? I don't know what the loudest group is. Mexicans? Cubans? How about the people of God? All right, just making sure. Okay, so just know that we're a little loud here, so I'd like you to talk to me back. Don't make me feel like I'm alone here, okay? But well, I wanted to talk about the evil things, but before I get into that, I want to share a quick story with you. I shared a long time ago that Marvin, one of our family members here at Public Society, shared with me that I shared this story a couple years ago. And it was when I was in law enforcement, but I had to serve a warrant. For how many know what a warrant is, right? When, okay, some people are like, if I raise my hand, no, I'm not coming for you, I promise. But a warrant is when somebody is about to be arrested. Man, you guys got sketchy on me. I'm gonna have to pray extra today. Some people were like, I had to serve a warrant on this gentleman. They gave me the address, and the mom actually called and said, my son is here sleeping in the living room, and he's got a warrant. First of all, that's wrong, right? So I come, and you know, I'm trying to prove myself as a police officer, and I get to the house, and they're like, Brandon, you don't want backup? And I'm like, boom, I got him. I'm good, right? So I go to the house, and I'm like, ooh, I'm ready to get this guy. I'm like, where is he at? Where is he at? She's like, he's right there, right? It gets real funny here, right? He's right there. He's sleeping, right? So I'm like, hey, and I cuff him while he's sleeping, which is like the wrongest way to do it, right? He's like, and he's waking up like this, thinking it's a dream. And I'm like, yeah, wake up, boom, I handcuffed him. But the thing is, while he was laying down, he had a huge quilt over him, okay? So I couldn't really see him. All I could see was his head, and I'm like, I got this. Not intimidated at all, right? Tell me how, when I moved the quilt, he was so tall. No, not tall, like, oh, wow, you're tall. Tall, like stupid tall, like 6'7", Goliath biblical tall. I was like, I had to lift him up, and I was like this. And he just kept going and going and going. I was so glad that I handcuffed him while he was sleeping, because, you know, I was like, all right. And you know what the mom does? The mom goes, oh, what are you doing to my baby? I was like, no, it gets better. She had a tear coming out her left eye. I was like, yo, okay, novela, soap opera, okay. She goes, what are you doing to my baby? I'm like, she goes, who called the police? I'm like, you called. You. But I figured what she was doing, she didn't want to hurt her, you know, her son, but still, I was like, wow. The thing is, when I came out the house, right, I didn't ask for backup. So when I came out the house, people see, you know, I'm not the tallest guy. I'm like 5'9", right? And people see me, I'm walking out, and this huge guy walking next to me, handcuffed, right, who looked good. I did, right? So I played it off. I'm like, yeah, uh-huh. And I'm walking around. Everybody's like, you got him? I'm like, yeah, I did. He's like, how? I'm like, man, he was fighting. He was fighting in a dream, right? I was like, yeah, he was fighting. He pushed me. I was like, boom. I did one of these. Like that. They're like, what'd you do? And he's like, that worked? Yeah, when I foomed, he foomed. You're going to remember that, right? And then finally, I gave up because my stories kept switching. People were catching up. They're like, first of all, you said you shoomed. Then after you told Billy that you cham, what was it? Was it the shoom or was it the sham? We need to know. I'm like, all right, he was sleeping. I got him when he was sleeping. All right. Thank God. But the reason why I share this story is because sometimes you don't know the whole story, right? Sometimes you don't know exactly what you're dealing with. And it's a good idea to know your opponent. Because if I would have known that this man was 6'7", God knows how many pounds, I would have asked for backup. Why? Because why would I set myself up for failure? You can imagine, I was so grateful when I had handcuffs on him, when I unleashed the quilt, and I realized the enemy that I was actually dealing with was bigger than me. Right? Am I talking to somebody? You know where I'm going with? What if I told you it's so important to know who your enemy is? What if I told you that it's amazing to know who God is? It's powerful to know all the things about heaven, but we have to have a stranger conversation about the things we don't want to talk about, which is the fact that there is a God and there is a devil. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There is angels and there are demons. So we have to know our opponent so that we don't get caught up in a situation or fighting something that's bigger than us. This is why Jesus says that I am the one who faces it, that you can do it by yourself and you can try, but he says not by, come on somebody, my might, but by, this is what the gospel is teaching us. So the gospel is telling us it's important to know. Someone say, know your enemy. Someone say it again, know your enemy. Oh man, you guys sound like you're in a funeral. Are we preaching today? Are we having church today? Amen. We're gonna get deep. It's so important that you know your enemy. So many of us are found in a victim faith, in a victim state of mind, right? How many believed that when you accepted Jesus, things would be easy? How many ever believed or had this idea or this notion that the moment I accept Jesus, things would be like a petal of rainbows and I was just gonna fly through life and now I'm immune to circumstances? This false teaching has a lot of Christians messed up because now they're like, man, I accepted Jesus. Now it looks like all hell broke loose. Maybe you're onto something. Maybe if all hell broke loose, the moment you try to get your life right is because there's something worth pursuing out of you. Maybe if the enemy put you as a target, maybe you're doing something right and not necessarily something wrong. Now, if I know that someone is after me, would you not think that it'd be best in my personality, in my perspective, it'd be best to know what you're dealing with? If I would have known I was walking in that house with a giant that I had to face by myself, I would have been called for backup. Now, what if I told you you have backup? What if I told you that the things that you face in life, you don't have to face alone? What if I tell you that the things you call giants are miniature compared to the God that you serve? This is why his word says that my name is above all names. Now, if we don't call for backup, who's at fault? Now, if I would have got seriously hurt, if something would have happened in that room, I couldn't sue the department and say, you guys weren't there for me. I never called backup. It was my responsibility to let somebody know that what I'm dealing with is bigger than me. Someone say, bigger than me. Have you ever faced something in your life that was bigger than you? I feel like cancer is bigger than some of us. I feel like racism is bigger than some of us. I feel like hatred and bitterness is bigger than some of us. I feel like broken families is bigger than some of us. I feel like stepfathers and stepmothers that aren't there for us is bigger. I feel like when we got broken up and our heart was betrayed, that's sometimes bigger than us, right? How many ever faced something in life that was bigger than you? Come on, let's be honest, somebody. We're in church and this is an imperfect people church. We've all faced giants that when we unleashed the quilt of it and they stood up, we said, this might be a little bit bigger than my faith, my prayer life, my fasting life, my stability, financial instabilities, so many different problems that arise. There are opponents in life, and we like to call it enemy, but I want to present a different name. His name is Lucifer. His name is Satan. And the Bible says that he is after the children of God. But here's the crazy thing. We have hatred against people because things that they have done against us. We have hatred over the circumstances of life, but we never give credit to the one who influences those things. What if I told you that the warfare that you are facing is not flesh and blood? What if I told you the problem you have isn't with the person, but the spirit behind that person? What if I told you it was bigger than what you can physically see, and the war that you are in is a spiritual warfare, and it's something we don't like to really talk about, but we all know the truth. We all know depression is bigger. We all know anxiety is a bigger thing. So how do we fight these things? First of all, like I said, you gotta, where's my phone? Know your enemy. So I wanna read to you in Ephesians, and check this out. This is, we're gonna stay in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. So I want you to just open up your phones, because we don't say Bibles anymore, because apparently no one carries physical Bibles. But if you have your physical Bible, please go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. We're gonna stay on that for the rest of this. Ephesians 6. Verse 10 through 18. And many of us have known about this verse, but we're gonna break it down a little bit more so that you can come out here with more knowledge. And it says this: finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty, whose power? In his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Let's stop there, okay? So it says, in order for you to take stand, you have to put on the full armor of God. But look what it says, so that you can stand against whose schemes? The devil's. Because there is an enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy. There is an enemy, there is a devil trying to abort the things that God has for you. The dreams, the aspirations, the purpose. How many have ever felt like that? How many have ran after God and they've been attacked? Come on, somebody, I need you to raise your hand. If you've ever tried to get your life right and that wrong friend who influences you to do wrong things starts text messaging you, how many have ever tried to get their life aligned and then things started coming? The Bible says that the devil schemes after you. Now, here we have to, I wanna break this down. Is it fine? Am I preaching? Are we there? Amen? The reason why it says schemes and doesn't say attack is because that the devil is very organized. The devil will analyze you and watch you. And scheming is a structured preparation to reach a goal. All right? So what if I told you that the devil has so much time in his hands that he watches you? And he's not gonna attack you in an area he knows you're strong in. Why? Because he's watched you. He's analyzed you. He's seen what your passions are. Not the good passions, the bad ones. He's seen what you've been tempted by. How many know we're not tempted by the same things? So he schemes in reference to you. The devil's very intentional. He's never gonna provoke you to do something that you know you won't even be tempted to do, but he will hit you in a weak spot because he is trying to destroy. So if my issue is lust of women, guess what's coming my way? If my issue is pornography, guess what I'm gonna be tempted by? If it's alcoholism, guess what I'm gonna be surrounded by? Is it clubbing and doing all, guess what friends are gonna be surrounded? If it's, guess what music, there's so many different influences in this life. Am I by myself, or am I the only one that gets tempted with things? No? Okay, well, he will analyze what is your particular temptation. So he'll scheme in reference to that. And then he'll create scenarios. And if we're not strong enough, we unleash the scenario and we watch the giant stand. And then we fall and fall and fall to the point that he will try to get you in a mindset. And I tell you, it's a weak one. Can we be transparent? In this mindset where we start blaming God for our irresponsibility. But God, you didn't give me backup. Look how big this giant is. He said, I never told you to go into that house by yourself. I gave you resources. I gave you my word. I gave you a structured church. I gave you a family of influences that are good for you. I gave you accountability partners. I gave you truth. I gave you the entire armor. You chose to go there by yourself. You chose no backup. You faced a giant. You lost again. You got sick of losing and you blamed God. You backstabbed. Every church is faulty now. Now I'm farther away from God I ever thought. But what if I told you that the Bible says that he is close to the weak? That he is close to the hurting? Is that good news today? So the devil will scheme. So we have to know our opponent. Then it begins to say this. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted in the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, the Bible says to take up your shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. For this in mind, be what? Alert. And always keep on praying for the Lord's people. This is why it's so important to break down. Because the Bible is saying, in order for you to stand firm, in order for you to stand firm against the giants that we all face, whatever giant you face in your life, you may have a giant with a different name. We don't all face Goliaths. David didn't face a Goliath. David faced a Goliath, but Jesus faced a cross. Daniel faced lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced fire and authority. You may have a different giant, so the Bible gives us a consistent truth, so that we all can face our giants the way he's called us to. And he said, in order for you to stand against the giant, do this. Put on the full armor of God. And after that, lift up the shield of faith. You know, faith, the thing that makes us go through things when we don't understand it. Because sometimes our job isn't to understand, but it's to be obedient. And lift up the faith. Then he says, with the word of God, which is your sword, use. No, the word of God is the sword. Because the word of God is filled with truth. And every truth presented in the word of God has the ability, and we say it all the time, to break every lie that was ever presented in your life. Now you may say, PB, okay, man, I'm facing some things. Have you ever referenced the Bible? Have you ever spoke truth to your circumstance? Have you ever called for backup? Have you ever made it known the circumstance that you're in? Have you really put on the full armor of God? Or is it just one of those things that I'll pray for you? Or yeah, I've been fasting. It's a spiritual warfare. It's real. It's real. And I see it, and I reference police officers because that's what I do. I've seen evil face to face. I've seen murder face to face. I've seen suicide face to face. I've seen people do things that could have only been a bad spirit. I've seen hatred. I've seen division in families. I've seen broken home. I've seen DCF cases ripping families apart. I've seen corruption in government. There is something that we're fighting. There is something that we are facing, whatever the case may be. If we take a moment just to look at the news and see what's around us in schools, whether it's bullying, whether it's jealousy, whether it's bitterness, there are so many different things that we have to face, so many different giants. So how do we stand against this? We put on the full armor of God. Faith, truth, be obedient to God, have our sword. You have to be ready for warfare. But the issue that we have is that we play church. The issue that we have is that we attend church for a moral feeling. We enter church so that we can mark it off our checklist and say, I did my good thing for the week. Once saved, always saved. I'll walk away and do life my way. And when it doesn't go my way, I'll blame him. When I don't have backup, I'll say, where are you? We crave for his attention, but does he have ours? We crave for his presence, but our presence is nowhere to be found in his throne. The Bible says that those who hunger for righteousness will be fed through him. You have to have a spiritual appetite. You ever been hungry? Somebody, preach to me. You ever been hungry? No, like hungry. Where McDonald's looks like a five-star restaurant hungry. Like, give me that McChicken, extra mayo, fries on the side, no sauce so it comes out fresh. When you get to the state of hunger, God responds. You have to be hungrier than your situation. You have to be more desperate than the giant that you have to face. Your hunger has to be bigger than the circumstances that surround your life. You have to be hungry for God, searching him, fasting and praying, finding yourself in his word. And then come into that place. I guarantee when you open that door, it won't feel like you're there alone. You won't be intimidated by the giant that stands because you said, go ahead and try something. I've got backup. Go ahead and try something, devil. I've got a helmet on. I've got truth wrapped up on my buckle. I've got faith or shield. I got a sword that is the truth of the gospel. And every lie you present, the devil, I know you are a liar. Matter of fact, devil, I know you. I know the forms that you attack me in. I know the ways you try to tempt me. I know the way you try to break my family. I recognize the pattern of the way you come after me. I know you. I smell you from a mile away because I'm in tune with him. I'm connected. I can see the wolves in sheep clothing. I can see the enemy's arrow starting to point at me. I can know when I've trembled the waters of hell. I can know when I start shaking and knocking the very gates of hell when I get my life right. I know what happens when I start walking in order and walking in obedience. I know to expect retaliation from the enemy, but I also expect victory. I expect victory because it's promised to me. The Bible doesn't say we are about to be in victory. It doesn't say we are coming to or there is a process of. The Bible says that we are in victory, that we have the victory. How many are walking in victory? You've got to get to a knowledge of your word that you can stand and look at the enemy and say, baby, I don't care how tall you are. I don't care if you're 6'7" or 8'7". I don't care how big you are. I don't care what your name is. What I know is that the name that I serve, the name that I walked into this house with in the first place, is bigger than, somebody say bigger than you, come on. It's bigger than you. You gotta look at the enemy in the face and say, I serve a bigger God than you. I don't care if it's lions, tigers, bears. I don't care if it's a cross. I don't care if it's death itself, because the Bible says that in the book of Genesis, it talks about already letting you know what God is gonna do in the cross. I already know that death no longer has this thing. What can you literally bring to me that the Bible hasn't already addressed? What can I face in this life the creator of life hasn't mentioned in that gospel? I want to leave you with this knowledge. Fasting is important. Separating yourself from the things of this world is not old school. Prayer is an exercise that you have to do. Don't blame your lack of fitness on the God who gave you the tools to be fit. It's important to read your word. As old school, it almost sounds old school. Even me preaching it almost makes me feel like maybe they're not accepting this, but you gotta read. His people, for lack of knowledge, are cursed. We have to come to church and congregate. We have to check our surroundings and see who we're surrounded by. We've got to be careful with the things that we speak. We got to be careful with the things that we see. We've got to be cautious on the things that we hear. We have to. We're designed to be different. We're designed to fight a war. It's not a baseball team. We're not a social club. We're not a meet and greet. We're the church. We are the only opposition the enemy has in this entire world. We are the only things that can come against the enemy. What if I told you that? We are the only things that could come against racism. We are the only things that could come against bias. We're the only things that could come against all the lacks of truth in this world. We're the only things, the church, we are. We are the ones that stand in a gap. We're the ones that fight for truth. We're the ones that fight for the laws of God. Even when culture changes, when the government changes, when we're seeing all of this happen and our voice is silent because we're afraid to face giants that we were designed to defeat. Those giants have your name written on their foot. You can't see it because they're standing, but the moment they fall, you can see that you were designed. You were designed for a time such as this. You were designed for a time and a moment in history. God looked at the timeline of life and said, I'm going to put Michael here. I'm going to put Josh here. I'm going to put, oh, come on, somebody. Am I talking? I'm going to put Diane here. I'm going to put Alisiana here because I believe that they were designed for this moment. So that means what we face in this world, God has given us the authority to face. So what's my job? I got to take a step back and reevaluate. Know my enemy. Know there is one. And love myself enough to listen to him. Say, God, you're right. Let me not play me. I don't pray enough. I ask more people to pray for me than I pray for myself. All right, I don't read. I read some quotes on Twitter. It's as close as I get to the Bible. But I want to know the truth, do you? I challenge you to go on a spiritual journey with Jesus. Not the cultural cool part of following Jesus. Not the cultural cool part of what church is. But the one behind closed doors that no one sees. The one that you don't post. The one that you don't get credit for. I dare you to shake the waters of hell and see face to face what I'm talking about. I dare you to be a generation that isn't afraid to enter into the Spirit of God. Not the culture of Jesus, not just the truth of the gospel, but I dare this generation in all its creativity, in its vast knowledge, in its fast moving pace, what happens if that generation became a generation of prayer warriors? That the name Prayer Warriors wasn't outdated. That a prayer closet wasn't no longer something cool to do. What happens when we stand our ground and we say, I believe in tongues. I believe in miracles. I believe in prayer. I believe in speaking into existence. I believe in the hand of God. I believe that there are demons coming down at me, but they can't touch me. I believe that it's not a warfare against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the kingdom of the darkness. Devil, I see you. I see you for what you are. I see you behind the things that I used to have bitterness over the people for their actions, but not realizing they were influenced by you. I see you. I don't see my broken home. I see a curse that you try placing over them. I see you. I now see you, and I know the enemy who I have to attack now. Oh, man, what happens when the enemy comes to your house and you come after him? I don't know who I'm talking to. But I'm talking to a group of people that have been through some things, that the devil tried to knock into your door and take over your mind, that you've had sleepless nights. You got to get to a place where you say, you know what? Enough is enough. It's time that I fight back. I'm not a punk. I'm not a loser. I'm a champion. I'm a child of God. I'm royalty. I'm aligned with him. I am who God says that I am. Somebody praise God with me. I am who God says I am. You're going to play these mental games with me. I got one life to live and I'm on a mission. I'm intentional with it. I'm obedient to him. I'm going to stay faithful to him. I'm going to keep walking. Even if the crowd of wide road to destruction, I'm going to keep moving. Even if there's a crowd walking this way, I'm going to press through. But we believe in this, but it's actually more. No. This is what God says. And I'm going to stand firm in it. I'm going to stand firm in it. Is there anyone standing firm with me? So we come today and you say, what is this message? This message is provoking you to have warfare, to fight for his presence, not just ask for it. This is a sermon to get you to realize that in this culture, it's not popular what we're talking about. People just want to fill a building. People want the next thing. the next wave, the next move, what's in. God's saying, I look and I search the world for someone to worship in spirit and in truth. I'm looking for a young person in a closet at 2 a.m. fighting for the peace of his mother. I'm looking for a heart that's so hungry for me that they're not looking for an emotional move, but they're looking for me. I'm looking for someone that could look at that giant and realize that I put your name on that foot. Do you know who you are? You're just coming to church and leaving and doing your own thing? No. You're designed to change your entire school. You know how many people made fun of me when I had 3 people at a poll 7 years ago in high school? You know how many people made fun of me and joked on me and said this and that? Until one day, God said, you're gonna go to the middle of that campus. You're not gonna tell anybody what we're doing. You're just gonna say to meet me at this place. You know how scared I was in that bus? This was 7 years ago. Frightened, shaking legs. Because what's gonna happen to my popularity or my social cues or my friends? What would people think? Even though I don't see half of them now. Right? I stepped into the school. I saw about 5, 6 people. They're like, what are we doing? Like, we're not going to the poll. What do you mean? I'm like, we're praying right here in the center of the campus. And to my surprise, everyone on board, let's do this. It caused a riot of people running to the center because now they see, oh man, it takes 1. It takes 2. It just takes 3. Because they ran to that center. And it was a post that went so far in Florida of people seeing and being inspired by a move of God in high school, because we don't see it. Because we believe that God's out of our schools. What if God sent you into that school so that you can be his feet, so that you can be his hands, so that you can be his mouth, so that you, what if God put you in that job so that you can change your coworkers? What if you're the answer? What if it's you? What if, with your incapabilities, and your disabilities, and your unsurety, and your lack of hope, what if it's you? What if that's exactly what he's looking for? Someone available. Moses had a stutter. Jesus. I believe that if we enter into that season as a church, and you share this message verbally, while saying, hey, can we pray together? Can you wake me up at 2 a.m? I just want to try it. A lot of this generation hasn't even seen a move of God like that. We've heard the word revival, but we think that's jumping up and down. We haven't seen it. What if I challenge you? What if this is the voice of God challenging you to shake your faith and shake what you thought you knew all about God, or believe that because you've been to church for 5 years, you know everything about him? What if there is an unseen mystery about God that you're missing out on? What if there's a treasure in heaven only found in your closet at 3 a.m? What if there is a revelation that can only be revealed by fasting? What if there's an answer to your predicament that's only found in the gospel of the pages you flip, not someone else? What if it's you? Man, God is going to do a move that this generation has never seen. Hear me as a prophet today. I tell you this, there is a move of God that will shake culture. There is a move of God that will shake government. There is a move of God that will actually change church in itself. If you believe that you've seen God move, God has said you have seen nothing yet. What I am going to do is greater things than you can fathom, than you can imagine, than no mind can conceive, no eye has seen, no ear has heard of the things that I'm preparing for those who love me. Do you love him enough to relentlessly pursue a God who's not just in nature, but in the supernatural? Would you be daring to be a stranger thing in this faith?